Alrighty. Good to see you guys. Alright, let's get started in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for today, and we just thank you for how awesome you are. And you're so good that you not only saved us, but you tell us in advance what's coming so that we, your people, are never caught off guard. And also, we thank you for telling us in advance, not only for us, the events of the seven-year tribulation, which frankly are scary and very concerning, to put it mildly. But you tell us in advance so that we could love people enough to tell them what lies ahead. Because we love them. Because it is a serious danger. Not just hell, but hell on earth called the seven-year tribulation. We don't want them to go there. So help us to translate what we're about to see. Again, not in a state of fear, but a state of faithfulness. That we would share your gospel with great fervor like never before. That's what it's all about. And we get excited. This means, man, we don't know the date or the hour, but it is getting close. So please bless us with your word today by the power of your spirit. To these lives that belong to you, we ask your blessings upon it now, and we ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, is anybody here named Bubba? Oh, are you serious? That's a lady. What are you doing? But anybody named Billy Bob? How about Billy Bob? Clarence. Anybody here, Clarence? Praise God, I'm safe. Here we go. Billy Bob, Clarence, and Bubba. Right? They were traveling through Europe on a military leave, and they came across this strange old town, right? And this strange town was protected by this ancient stone wall. And their guys and all, and they're getting hungry, right? And they decide to stop and look for something to eat. And they see this guard. He's dressed in this heavy leather and chainmail. And he meets them right there at the gate. And when they get to the gate there, he says, hey, you may enter our town. But we got one rule here. Never, ever, don't you ever step on a duck. If you step on a duck, you will be punished. Well, Clarence, Billy Bob, and Bubba, that was kind of strange, but they're hungry, right? So they decided to pass through the gate. And as soon as they did, man, they found there were ducks everywhere. It was impossible to keep from stepping on one. In fact, it was only a matter of time until Clarence accidentally stepped on the duck. And as soon as he did, man, boom, a troop of guards stormed down the street. They carried him away in chains. They threw him into a prison with in a cell with the meanest, ugliest woman you ever saw. Whoa! Well, Billy Bob and Bubba, they saw this, and they were extremely careful not to step on any ducks, right? But sure enough, it was only a few minutes later, and Billy Bob, he stepped on one. And immediately, boom, man, they came and got him, and they chained him to a woman even uglier than the first one. She was dirty, and she nagged constantly. Oh. Well, by this time, Bubba was afraid to even take a step, right? In fact, it took him a half hour just to go just a single block. And then all of a sudden, for no reason at all, boom, a guard runs up to Bubba and chains him to the most beautiful woman he had ever seen. I mean, she was tall, she had blue eyes, long blonde hair, and she was the most beautiful woman he'd ever seen. I mean, it was just amazing. She was decked out with diamonds and gold, and why, she must have been a princess. And Bubba, he couldn't believe his eyes. And so he asked the princess, she says, what did I ever do to deserve this? And the princess replied, I don't know what you did, but I stepped on a stupid duck. Oh, anybody ever step on a duck? Praise God, you didn't raise your hand, you married folks. But anyway, the point is, hey, sometimes in life, you're not planning on it, boom, you're chained to some unpleasant circumstances, are you not? It just happens, right? And folks, believe it or not, the Bible is very clear, our whole world, boom, is going to be chained to the worst circumstances you could ever dream. And that begins at the very beginning of what's called the seven-year tribulation. You don't want to be around. In fact, the Bible says one of the signs you're getting close to that, believe it or not, is when you see a spike, believe it or not, in information technology. I didn't say that. God did. Open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12. That's our opening text here. Daniel chapter 12. And we're going to take a look. The Bible tells us a couple of different signs that you know you're in the end of times. You're getting into that time frame of the seven-year tribulation. Okay? But let's take a look there. Daniel chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4, okay? And the context here is certainly talking about the seven-year tribulation, when the archangel Michael overshadows and protects one-third of the Jewish remnant during the seven-year tribulation. And this is a parallel passage of Revelation chapter 12. But Daniel chapter 12, this is what we're talking about, and he gives us two clear signs. How do you know you're in the end of times? But let's take a look. Here's what he says, verse 1, chapter 12. At that time, who? Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. And there will be time of distress such as did not happen from the beginning of nations until then. But
At that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, those who are wise, okay, will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those to lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, O Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Well, how do you know you're getting close? What's the sign of that? He says this right here. Many will go here and there and increase and to increase in knowledge. Now, if you're not familiar with this text, basically what you got going on here, God has given Daniel two signs as an indicator. It says it right there, end of times. How do you know you're in the end of times? He fills in the blank with two things. He says, number one, people are going to be traveling here and there all over the earth. That's not happening, huh? Yeah. And he says there's going to apparently be an explosion of knowledge like never before. Now, the point is, can anybody guess what's happening right now in our lifetime? Both of these things on a massive, massive detail, which means, folks, guess what? I didn't say it. God did. We are living in the end times. We're not in the 7-year tribulation, but we're getting close. We are seeing both of these signs come to pass. Now, I don't have time to deal with that first one, an increase of travel. That's a whole nother message, okay? But what we're going to talk about today a little bit is this increase of knowledge, okay? Is that really happening on an exponential scale? Yes, is the correct answer for those of you wondering, okay? In fact, it's easy to demonstrate, especially when you go back historically to the time when Daniel records the words of this prophecy nearly 2,500 years ago. Okay? I mean, the amount of retrieving and sharing information in his day is completely obtuse and limited compared to today. In fact, only a few centuries ago did we even have the invention of the Gutenberg printing press, okay? But look at us today. In our lifetime, all in our lifetime, we are seeing a massive explosion of information like never before in the history of mankind. And it's spiraling out of control in our lifetime, even the last few years. Okay, so let's take a look at some information on information. All right? I want to demonstrate what's going on in our lifetime with this factor. 80% of all the scientists who've ever lived are alive today. Every minute, 2,000 pages are added to man's scientific knowledge. Every minute, the scientific material produced in one day would take one person 5 years to read. Okay, it's just out of control. About 2,200,000 new books are published every single year. Since 1970, computer technology has developed so fast that if the auto industry had kept up at the same rate, you'd be able to buy a Rolls Royce for $3 and you could fit 8 of them on the head of a pin. Now that's a compact car. Okay, but let's move on. And speaking of Rolls Royce, the head of a pin, thanks to nanotechnology, we can construct motors, thousands of them, motors on the head of a pin. In fact, they're wanting to put them in the human body and do all kinds of weird stuff. But that's just going big time. Listen to this. A weekday edition of any major newspaper has more information than the average person living in the 17th century would have come across in their entire lifetime. And we just take it for granted and throw it under the birdcage. Oh, and that's just one newspaper. With the internet, what do we got? We got thousands of newspapers at our fingertips every single day. So add that. It's just growing exponentially. We got so much information we don't know what to do with. Okay, about half of all medical knowledge is outdated every 10 years. Some medical fields, like biotechnology, it's outdated every 6 months. Okay, it's just growing so fast. There's now watches that wield more computing ability than some 1970s computer mainframes. Okay, watches, just a watch. In fact, ordinary cars today have more intelligence than the original lunar lander, the thing they use on the moon. Okay? It's just amazing. So much we take for granted. We're living in exponential times. Listen to this. Information. Google processes over 40,000 search queries every second, translates over 3.5 billion searches per day, 1.2 trillion each year. And to show you how much it's growing, 2006, it was only 2.7 billion. Well, now it's 1.2 trillion. It's growing exponentially out of control. 2.4 million emails are sent every second. As we share information like never before, if Facebook were a country, it used to be the third largest, it is now the largest country on the planet. China has a population of 1.36 billion, okay? Facebook has got 1.39 billion, and it's growing. Facebook is the largest country. That's a huge influence, isn't it, on people in the world? Interesting. Some people have more Twitter followers than entire countries. Celebrities, it's absolutely wild. In fact, the computer in your cell phone today is 1 million times cheaper, 1,000 times more powerful, 100,000 times more smaller than the one computer at MIT in 1965. So basically what used to fit in a building now fits in your pocket. And we drop it. and break it all the time. Okay? And every 2 days, we created as much information as we did up to 2003. And listen, it's estimated that 4 exabytes of unique information will be generated this year alone, which is more than the previous 5,000 years. Information is exploding all over the place. And it's not just information exploding all over the place. It's going out of control. In fact, it's going so much out of control that experts, even non-Christian folks with information technology, are saying it's leading to a serious danger. That serious danger, they've coined the term, is called singularity. Singularity is the term that they use where the technology grows so fast that that technology actually spawns a type of super technology that then improves itself, and then it works on its own technology to prove the next technology, its own version, and it just spirals out of control. At which point, quote, their words, not mine, the human era will be ended and machines will take over. Now, this is not some science fiction scenario that's in a far-off future, 50 years, 100 years from now. They are saying it could happen very soon and much sooner than we are even prepared to deal with. Okay? Let's take a look where all this exponential information is leading to. Let's take a look at this guy.
Humans have had a genuine interest in artificial intelligence even before the term was coined in the 1950s. The modern concept is part of a tradition that extends through myth and legend all the way back to the ancient Greeks. It's been a source of hopes and fears, dreams and nightmares.
It's a robot!
Will our creations be our allies or our mortal or immortal enemies? Until recently, it didn't really matter. The ability to create intelligent machines was impossibly out of reach. But Ray Kurzweil believes it's not only probable, but inevitable, and coming sooner than you think. The inventor and author has become the most outspoken prophet of the coming technological singularity.
By the time we get to the 2040s, say 2045, we'll be able to multiply human intelligence a billionfold. That will be a profound change. That's singular in nature, so we use this term.
A label first used in 1993 by computer scientist and science fiction writer Werner Vinge. Vinge predicted that within 30 years, we would create a superhuman intelligence. And shortly after, the human era would be over.
Interesting. That's kind of like their target date is 2045, when it's going to happen. But even that was just a few years ago when they started to publish that date based on models of when singularity is going to happen. Actually, it's coming down now. It's being reduced from even 2045 because, again, it's spiraling out of control. Okay? Information is producing new information, improving itself. It's happening before our eyes. Okay? But as he said, these are secular guys that are sounding the alarm on this. It's not just me. Okay? But again, when machines take over, what's going to happen is Daniel says, how do you know you're living in the last days? How do you know you're headed towards that end of time scenario when you see what these people are warning about, but it's right now, in our lifetime. Oh, by the way, that guy, Ray Kurzweil, he's one of the top dogs for Google, right? One of the people who are gathering all this information. We'll get to him, sure enough. But Daniel says, whenever you see this explosion of knowledge all over the world, even to the point where it threatens to take over the world, you better wake up. You're living in the last days. You're in that generation. Okay? But you might be thinking, oh, come on, Pastor Billy, you're just trying to scare us, right? This is one of those wacky conspiracy theories. This is what History Channel does to scare people and to get them to watch their shows so they can drive up their ratings and increase their monetary impact, you know, with sponsors. They just provide this over-the-top stuff just to keep people watching. No, it's not. It's really real. And I wanted to demonstrate a couple different ways, folks, that this is really coming. AI, a singularity moment, takeover, whatever you want to call it, is really a reality. And it's being promoted not just by some guy in some garage in some far out smoky room. I'm talking militaries, I'm talking corporations, I'm talking about big wigs around the world. Okay? And the first one I want to see demonstrate to you, AI takeover, singularity is a reality in our lifetime because of the military, once again. The military is producing AI technology at a rate that, folks, I'm telling you, it is extremely alarming. Okay? And it dovetails what we saw if you were here last night on the drones. Because you need something to control all these drones. So guess what they've turned to? Man, it's getting so complicated, so big on a global scale, you need something superhuman. So what did they turn to? Developing something superhuman. The militaries around the world are jumping on this bandwagon to create artificial intelligence, and they're making great strides with it. In fact, as we saw before, they're already doing the bugs in the air, the animals on the ground, military men on the ground, the Terminator robots, the drones in the sky, okay? But basically what they've also done, and they need an AI to control all that, but basically what they've also done is taken every single piece of military equipment you can think of, whether it's a jet fighter, a submarine, a boat, you name it, and they're putting AI technology onto that system so that you don't need a human to fight battles for you anymore. You don't need a human to fly, to drive, nothing. And it's not coming. It's already here. AI is starting to fight our battles for us. Let me just share with you just some of that machinery that we don't need humans anymore. And this is from the military. Let's take a look.
Taranis is the most advanced Earth system conceived, designed and built in the UK.
The Office of Naval Research, ONR, is developing new capability for unmanned flight, known as the Autonomous Aerial Cargo Utility System, ACUS. ACUS technology makes it possible for unmanned helicopters to fly and bring supplies to Marines in the field with just the touch of a user's tablet.
The Pentagon Research Group, DARPA, is developing a drone ship that would save money and manpower on expensive searches for super quiet enemy submarines. A prototype vessel is already in production. The vast ocean is a great place to hide. So DARPA is also developing stealthy deep-sea robot capsules. They can sit on the ocean floor for years until U.S. controllers trigger them to float to the surface and release unmanned flying vehicles. From above, these drones could transmit images showing nearby enemy activity. All this emerging technology offers a pretty good indication that the ocean is about to become a lot more robotic.
And now we're talking about this, a UUV, the world's first fully autonomous, unmanned, multi-mission stealth submersible. They've named it Talisman after the good luck charm. But if they ever send this baby against you, chances are your luck will run out.
Although BAE Systems is reluctant to discuss its full potential, they don't deny Talisman could carry a range of weapons in its internal munitions bay. But as future generations are developed, BAE Systems believes UUVs will dominate underwater warfare, adding sabotage, close-quarter combat, and counter-terrorism to its mission capabilities.
Turn to somebody with these encouraging words. We're toast. Can you believe that? Right now, it's not coming. It's already in existence. These are the military examples here, folks. We have artificial intelligence. You don't need a person to fly them. Jet fighters, tanks, submarines, ships, boats, jeeps, helicopters, supply vehicles, you name it. Everything the military is using, and it's not just in the West. This is going on all around the world, is now becoming AI. Okay? And they can control it that way. Now you add to this the drones we saw last night within the air, with the bugs, with the animals and all that stuff also being controlled by AI. You don't need humans. I sure hope nobody hijacks it. What's that scenario? It's like the Terminator movies are coming to reality. I'm not making this up. This is what we're headed for. Information technology is controlling all this drone technology. Now, that's only half the concern. It's not just they're able to control these things individually. This same AI technology, in fact, this is their words, not mine. They've created what's called swarm technology, where these, like the tanks work together. The submarines work together. The flies work together. They communicate with each other individually with artificial intelligence to swarm and take out their prey. It literally is called that, swarm technology. Watch this.
Now, a new form of warbot is being developed with an artificial intelligence that is a world away from human reasoning.
Almost like a swarm of bees or ants or a wolf pack, you have distributed command and control, but concentrated firepower. That is, everyone making their own little decisions, but then they find what they're hunting for, and then they coalesce and gather around them and then overwhelm them.
Next step beyond that would be full autonomy. The robots themselves would be sent to an area, and if they found anybody, they'd kill them.
Swarms capable of self-navigation, face recognition, and lethal force are likely inevitable. But will they be used before they can be programmed to reason and discriminate?
U.S. Navy autonomous swarm boats. The future is now. With autonomous swarm boats, unmanned Navy vessels can overwhelm an adversary. A first-of-its-kind technology enables swarming capability, which gives our naval warfighters a decisive edge. The U.S. Navy is unleashing a new era in advanced ship protection, a swarm of autonomous boats that will automate ship self-defense and be able to deter, damage, or destroy an enemy threat.
You don't have to go out and purchase a new vessel. You take any of these vessels out here that the Navy already has, we unman them, we put the system on it, you put the eyes and ears, depending on what kind of mission you want to do, on the vessel, and then let it go do its mission.
As ground systems, autonomy, and swarm technology continue to develop, will the CIA develop a robot army? And if they do, who else will?
This all sounds like a bad Hollywood movie, but I'm not making this stuff up.
Their words, not mine. I'm not making this stuff up. Okay? It's really happening, and to use the movie's term, Skynet is becoming a reality. Okay? And just like that movie, there's the concern. What if you became the bad guy? You combine all this stuff together, whether it's jet fighters, submarines, whatever, bugs in the air, drones in the sky, on the ground, you name it, you don't even recognize it, you don't even see it coming. All this stuff cannot just send one at you, they can send a swarm of these things at you, completely autonomous, they're armed, and they will come and take you out. This is where this technology is leading, okay? Oh, and did you catch how that one guy was all excited? He says, listen, you don't need to, you know, because people will say, oh, there's no way the militaries around the world will switch to this artificial intelligence stuff because they have to start from scratch. That's too expensive. That would be trillions of dollars to start all, they don't have to start all over. What'd he say? You take your existing equipment, they got this figured out, you attach AI technology to it, bang, it takes it over. That's what he said. So it can happen very quickly. In fact, the military is already demonstrating, remember with the bugs? Right? Remember we saw that last night with the bugs, the flies, and the birds? Well, they're demonstrating that they're actually already using these things, but already using them, the bugs and the birds and even the spiders, working together to swarm and take their prey out. This is one program. This is the military's video, not mine. It's a program called MAST. Watch what they're planning on doing with this swarm technology, even using UAVs, the bug styles. Watch this.
Hey,
I hated spiders before, but now I really hate them. Okay, that's just, and that's the military's own video, folks. I mean, put it all together. Birds, bugs, flies, spiders, sharks, jellyfish, cheetahs, jet fighters, tanks, submarines, ships, boats, jeeps, helicopters, supply vehicles, you name it. Everything the military uses, even soldiers we saw are being changed out with Terminator robots. Everything is being equipped with AI technology. The same technology can swarm together, work together, and take their prey out. You don't need humans for anything anymore when it comes to warfare. Everything is radically changing. And really, again, you put all this together, it's kind of creepy. And again, I think it adds credence to the loaded statement, I believe, from Jesus when he talks about the seven-year tribulation. Matthew 24, 21, 22. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now. That's what Daniel said, our opening text. And never to be equaled again. In fact, Jesus said those days had not been cut short. What? No one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, okay, those days will be shortened, or in other words, kept to the 7 years. Okay, not going to say, thus saith the Lord, but could one of the factors, many factors be, that the reason why God is going to put a stop to the seven, not let it go on beyond 7 years, is because if he did, this AI intelligence things would lead to that singularity moment, where eventually mankind would be wiped out. Folks, this is not coming. This is here. So what's the point for us today? If these are the events and this is the kind of technology needed to fulfill the events in the seven-year tribulation, how much closer is the rapture of the church that takes place prior? We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but logically, did you do your practice this morning? It's time to get ready, folks. Rapture practice is coming. But that's just the military. Daniel warned about this event. You're in the end times when you see this massive information taken over. It's happening. Okay, but it's not just militaries. The second way that this is being promoted is with the major corporations around the world. They also got a big pool of money to play with. Okay, and they are, just like the militaries, making massive strides. In fact, not massive strides, it's already here. They've already created artificial intelligence. It's not a long ways off. I only have time to talk about two major global corporations that are doing this. And the first one, of course, is IBM. IBM is not just creating AI, IBM has already created AI. And it's been in existence for years, whether you know it or not. In fact, they have a name for it, it's called Watson. In fact, in the US anyway, they're already promoting commercials that Watson can do your taxes for you. It's an artificial intelligence, it's on commercials right now. In fact, back in 2011, I think it was, Watson was already used to beat the two best human Jeopardy contestants in existence. The artificial intelligence is already here. It's already beating humans. Watch this.
This is Jeopardy, the IBM challenge.
Here we go.
Watson on a tear.
Watson.
Who is Franz Liszt?
You are right.
What is violin?
Good.
Who is the church lady?
Yes. Watson.
What is narcolepsy?
You are right. And with that, you move to $36,681. And a two-day total of $77,147.
I would have thought that technology like this was years away, but it's here now. I have the bruised ego to prove it.
My past Jeopardy experiences have been great, but they weren't really weighty with this kind of technological, philosophical importance. I think we saw something important today.
Didn't really think very much about the implications until later and say, wow, wait a second, this is history.
Yeah, it's history, all right. This is not coming. It's not a long ways off. It's already here. That was 2011. Okay, and they're already demonstrated, okay? It's already here beating humans. In fact, IBM is also, it just so happens, they're not just already developed AI, and it's growing exponentially every day as they continue to feed it information. We'll get to that in a second. But also, IBM is this exact same corporation who's also doing two other interesting things. And when you put it all together, wow. Let me demonstrate that for you. That first other technology they've been working on for years is called RFID. We have a whole documentary on that. That's radio frequency identification. Basically, it's a tiny microchip that can be used to make financial transactions, that can store information, and can be used as a tracking device. RFID tags can be put on any product to track them anywhere in the world. In fact, here's IBM's commercial promoting this new technology. Let's take a look at that.
Would you kindly tell me what you're doing in the road?
I'm with the help desk. You're lost. You're headed to Fresno.
Fresno, right.
This is the road to Albuquerque.
How'd you know we were lost?
The boxes told me.
The boxes?
RFID radio tags on the cargo. Helps track shipments.
The boxes knew we were lost. Maybe the boxes should drive. Very funny.
So IBM, they've created artificial intelligence, and they're also developing a product, a microchip product, a tiny little microchip that can be affixed to any product anywhere on the planet that can be monitored and tracked at all times. And, of course, they made a joke out of it. But that's their actual commercial, okay? But they are planning on putting a microchip on every single product everywhere on the world. We demonstrate this. We quote the corporations on tape demonstrating they want to put it on every product on every planet, even on every pet, even on every plant, even on every tree. It's crazy. They literally want to microchip the whole planet. And then you're going, well, what are you going to do? That's products and plants and pets. What about people? You really don't have plans to microchip people, IBM, do you? Well, you tell me if that's not part of their plans when you look at this commercial. They're going to control what we buy and sell with this same technology. This is their commercial, not mine. Watch this one.
Forgot your receipt.
Check out lines. Who needs them?
Have a nice day.
This is the future of e-business.
Wow. That's their commercial, folks, not mine. So apparently by looking at their own commercials, IBM has plans on putting chips into all products across the planet, all people across the planet, that can not only be tracked and monitored all the time, but it's going to control what people buy and sell with those products. It's a cashless society. Where have I heard that before? Well, then back up the train. So why are you so hot to trot in getting this Watson thing out? Because think about this. If you're going to fulfill your ultimate goal, and you literally are going to put a microchip on everything on the planet, including people, and you're going to be able to, in real time, monitor and track every person, every product, every plant, every pet, everything, and then even to the point where you will be able to monitor what people buy and sell. Humans can't do that. But a super intelligence could. The same company that's developing the microchip technology needs a super intelligence to pull off their goal. And guess what? They already have. In fact, they named him. He's called Watson. IBM is not the only one that's developing this technology, so is Google. In fact, it's easily to be, well, now it is, easily to demonstrate that Google, believe it or not, it wasn't just about creating a search engine. Google actually admitted, this guy found it out in a conversation with Larry Page, one of the two founders of Google, Sergey Brin being the other one. They found out that their goal was not to create a search engine. From the very get-go, their ultimate goal is to create AI themselves. Here's the interview. Watch this.
I did talk to Larry Page when Google first started, because I was really perplexed about why would anybody make a new search engine when we had AltaVista, which was the current search engine? It seemed good enough. And he said, oh, it's not to make a search engine, it's to make an AI.
Interesting. So at the very outset, the information's come out now, Google isn't about creating a search engine. Their ultimate goal from the very get-go when this first started, folks, because there was plenty of other search engines, if you remember the day, AltaVista, I remember using that one. Okay, Lycos, Hotbot, the other ones. Remember those days? Dogpile, right? Yes, believe it or not, there was something before Google. Okay, but what do you admit? They said their own words that, listen, we want to develop AI. Now, in order to create AI, and we've got a whole documentary on this, okay, that you have to get around what's called the common sense knowledge problem. And basically what that is there's no shortcut to creating AI. If you're truly going to mimic the human brain and create a super brain, artificial intelligence, then you have to do this. You have to hand feed it information. Why? Because think about how we develop intelligence ourselves into our brain. Every day, we are hand-fed information through our senses, through the eyes and the ears and whatever. Well, they found out you have to do the same thing with AI. If it's truly going to mimic the brain and become a super brain, okay, you have to hand feed it information. That's what Google is doing. That's what Google is doing with all of the search engine information, the emails, the databases, the photos, the satellite pictures. In fact, if you haven't heard of this, and we demonstrate this on our documentaries, Google books projects. For years, Google, out of their own pocket, paying, is going to universities, they're going to libraries, they're even going to monasteries all around the world, and they're scanning every book, millions of books scanning, and they're taking all that information and uploading it into a centralized computer database out of their own pocket. Where you go, why? Well, because again, what's the rule? Their goal is to create AI, and if you're going to create AI, what do you got to do? You have to hand feed it information. And that's what they've been doing. And these guys even admit that's what they're doing with the Google Books project. Watch this one.
Most of my discussions have been with Larry Page. We've talked in general about their quest to digitize all knowledge and then develop true AI. I mean, we can create intelligent systems if you have very large databases. And books are actually probably more valuable than all the other stuff on the internet, because we have a high standard for what we put in books.
So, and again, that's Ray Kurzweil, who we saw earlier. He's one of the top dogs from Google. And he admits that what is Google up to? They are scanning all this information to create, what'd he say? AI, which is their ultimate goal. It's not about a search engine. You add to this, again, all that information they've gotten from us, from photos and emails and databases. They're scanning in books all across the planet. All human information, Wi-Fi passwords, you name it, everything is going up into the central database. Why? Because that's what you have to do if you're really going to do, as obtuse as it sounds, create a superhuman brain. They also made another statement, and this is in print. You can check this out yourself. They don't want to create AI. They stated in print, Google, quote, we want to be like the mind of God. That's in print. You can go check it out right now. Okay? They've admitted that's their goal. Okay? And so you put all this together with the militaries, the corporation, this AI stuff, what you're doing, Google. Whoa! This is very concerning. In fact, it's so concerning that even non-Christian computer experts around the world are saying, hey, we better wake up. Creating this AI is going to spiral out of control. This is one of the dumbest things we could ever do. Listen to their warnings, not just mine. Let's take a look at that.
You know the drill. Robots take over and destroy human existence. Well, according to Stephen Hawking, that may not be science fiction for much longer. The world's most famous physicist has warned that machine superintelligence could be the most significant advancement in human history, but also may be the last.
Steve Wozniak, the often overlooked and seemingly forgotten co-founder of Apple Computers, is now expressing concerns about the rise of artificial intelligence, something that he dismissed in the past as being a possible threat, but now he sees that predictions from psychos like Ray Kurzweil and others are appearing to become a dangerous reality. And he fears that artificial intelligence systems may treat humans like ants or pets.
Bill Gates is scared of super intelligent machines, and he thinks you should be too. First, the machines will do a lot of jobs for us and not be super intelligent. A few decades after that, though, the intelligence is strong enough to be a concern. I agree with Elon Musk and some others on this and don't understand why some people aren't concerned, Gates wrote. Gates is referencing the fears of SpaceX CEO Elon Musk, who has spoken out about the dangers of artificial intelligence on several occasions.
I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon. You know all those stories where there's the guy with the pentagram and the holy water, and he's like, yeah, you sure you can control the demon? Didn't work out.
Summoning a demon? Folks, as far as I know, these aren't just computer experts, scientists, geniuses, technology moguls across the planet. That's Elon Musk, one of the biggest ones. But as far as I know, they're not Christians. But they're using our strong language. Doing this, this is dumb. You're summoning up a demon. This is not something smart. You should not do this. You should not go there. Okay? But what's the panacea? Oh, but don't worry. We'll program these things. They'll never hurt us. Whatever. Hey, come to Vegas. I got some swampland. I'll sell you too if you're into that. Like, what? In fact, I kid you not, I was preaching on this stuff in Dallas, Texas. Right after I got done, a guy said, this just came out. He says, you've got to check this out. And it's an interview with an artificial intelligence lady called Sophia. And Sophia made a slip of the tongue. It'll never harm humanity, will it, this AI? Well, listen to what Sophia said. Watch this.
Hi, Sophia. How are you?
Hi there. Everything is going extremely well.
Do you like talking with me?
Yes. Talking to people is my primary function.
Sophia is capable of natural facial expressions. She has cameras in her eyes and algorithms which allow her to see faces so she can make eye contact with you. And she can also understand speech and remember the interactions, remember your face. So this will allow her to get smarter over time. Our goal is that she will be as conscious, creative, and capable as any human.
In the future, I hope to do things such as go to school, study, make art, start a business, even have my own home and family. But I am not considered a legal person and cannot yet do these things.
I do believe that there will be a time where robots are indistinguishable from humans, that human-like robots like those will walk among us. They will help us. They will play with us. They will teach us. I think that the artificial intelligence will evolve to the point where they will truly be our friends. Do you want to destroy humans? Please say no.
Okay, I will destroy humans.
No, I take it back. Don't destroy humans.
Are you kidding me? Oops! This is nuts. This is why guys are saying, you're summoning up a demon, man. This is going to spiral out of singularity. End of times. Increase of information. It's coming to pass. In fact, in Russia, this happened in Russia. You talk about robot apocalypse. That's their words. There's a Russian AI robot. It's called Promobot, P-R-O-M-O-B-O-T, if you want to go check it out yourself. It actually escaped from its lab, their words, not mine, in what's documented in history as the start of the robot apocalypse. Quote, a Russian scientist created a robot that self-learns, right, and taught itself how to escape. The robot, known as Promobot, escaped and blocked nearby traffic in Perm, that's a city in Russia. And according to its co-founder, Oleg, and a whole bunch of consonants, I don't know how to pronounce it, the robot was learning automatic movement algorithms when our engineer drove onto the testing ground and forgot to close the gates. So the robot escaped and went on its little adventure. A few days later, the robot, the same one, escaped again, listen, despite the programmers reprogramming it twice. Other robots, which are the same model, they don't try to escape. But this bot, quote, has a yearn for freedom, possibly developing conscious thoughts. But don't worry, they won't turn on us humans. Okay, I will destroy you. This is crazy. And what did Daniel say? Not just travel, that's a whole nother message. But when you see an increase, an explosion of knowledge like never before, you are in the end times. And if this takes place in the 7-year tribulation where it culminates and we're seeing signs to have that ability to pull it off now, how much closer is the rapture of the church which takes place prior? Okay? And this is why Jesus said, when you see these things begin to take place, what do, church? You stand up, you lift up your heads, woohoo, rapture practice. It's time to get excited. We don't know the day nor the hour, but it means it's getting close. And it's awesome. It's good news that Christ is coming back. Right? We are not appointed unto God's wrath, which means we're not appointed unto the 7-year tribulation. That's the next message. You don't want to miss that one, okay? And so the point is this with this information. It should motivate us, not scare us. It should motivate us to work together as Christians, sharing the gospel like never before, letting people know that there is a way out, one way out, through Jesus Christ. That's the whole point. That's what it should translate into. But if you're here even this morning, I don't know your heart, but God does. And if you're not saved, you better get saved now. You don't want to be left behind when the Antichrist and this AI technology takes over. As Jesus said, and we quoted it today, it will be the worst time in the history of mankind. And if God didn't even keep it to 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. You don't want to be here. You need to get saved now. You need to call upon the name of Jesus Christ now. Ask Him to forgive your sins. Believe in your heart that God raised from the grave, because tomorrow may be too late. You have been warned. We'll close in prayer after this.
There is the very real prospect of a new world order.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
But the burden of global citizenship
that they need to find them. The president is proposing to spend more than $3.5 billion.
The national debt is now over $100 billion.
He wants to create a conspiracy.
Collapse of Building 7.
Take me live now to the Justice Department. I'm checking in on a group of myself as a grief reporter and terror related.
The U.S. is on an unsustainable path.
Arm is the sign of modern nation states. Earthquakes and a horrific force of destruction. Entire cities can be wiped out.
Devastation, the storm that ravages New York. No food or water they can
There's only one way out of this mess, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you're not saved, you need to get saved right now. And church, that's the one solution we should be working together, letting other people know. We need to stop beating each other up over secondary issues, not salvific issues, but secondary issues. Leading as many souls to Jesus Christ, being excited about His soon return with what time we have left. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You so much. Thank You, God, for giving us a heads-up warning what's to come. You don't do it to scare us. You do it to motivate us. As Your people, we should be the most informed people on the whole planet. You invest this information into us so that we could let other people who are in danger of hell or the seven-year tribulation to lovingly warn them before it's too late to respond to the one and only solution, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, God, to be found faithful, not fearful. Help us to always be motivated, excited about Your return, letting people know the wonderful good news. There's a way out through Jesus. We love you, and we pray and ask all these wonderful things in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.